That was for Serge. Praise the Lord. Now, in my church, we greet each other saying, praise the Lord. But you can either say it or do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I looked at the bulletin because I just saw that this morning, and I saw that we were reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, but my message is coming from Romans 8. So I do want to honor the scripture that's on the bulletin because it really kind of applies to me. And Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's saying, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I didn't come preaching God's secrets to you like I was an expert in speech or wisdom. Got it? Okay. I had made up my mind not to think about anything while I was with you except Jesus Christ and to preach him as crucified. I stood in front of you with weakness, fear, and a lot of shaking. My message and my preaching weren't presented with convincing wise words, but with a demonstration of spirit and of power. I did this so that your faith might not depend on the wisdom of people, but on the power of God. Just to say a little bit about myself and my buddy who came with me this morning, he happens to be a piece of the support system that makes me fly. And I say that because they are the wind beneath my wings. That happens to be my husband, Minister Burnett Morris, who's with me this morning. And I appreciate him and my church for allowing me to be here. We've been buddies hitting the streets for Jesus for 40 years. Yeah, we've only been married 22, but it's just such a blessing to be a part of what God has called us to and to grow into that together. And so what you're going to hear from me today is nothing new. I hope you have your Bibles or some form of Bible so you know I didn't make it up. I want to emphasize just a few pieces and passages out of Romans chapter 8. And I did get a title as I was praying about this, and I've been seeing you guys getting beaten up in scripture. Be silent. Scripture will get you. It'll make you feel like you missed the mark. And we have. We are a messy people. Church folks are broke folks. Thank God. Because if we had to be perfect, we couldn't be here. We couldn't get anything to grow in. We couldn't be built by God. What he made was perfect in chapter 1 of Genesis. But if y'all remember, something happened in chapter 3. And so we were no longer perfect. I want to call your attention to a letter that Paul was writing to the church at Rome, even though he had not yet been there. He didn't plant that church yet at the time that this was written. He was kind of introducing himself and talking about what his passion was and maybe introducing them to how he was going to be and present himself and present the gospel and give them an overview and therefore give us an overview of what this thing is all about. Walking with Jesus is so different. I shared with people earlier that, you know, there is absolutely nothing that you can see in the world around us. Now, I know we all have happy places, right? How many of you got a place that you know you can go and you're just totally happy there? I got at least one place. But we long for a place like that, don't we? Is there anybody who would turn it down? No, we all want a space where we can be safe and find rest, and that blessed rest, but not just rest, but fun, okay? Because I like to have fun when I'm resting. You? Yeah, they call it party. Well, Paul is kind of already told the church at Corinth, you know, as we looked at the church of Corinth, and I know you guys have been through it. You all have had to suffer the insights of knowing that we're broken and we haven't been getting it right. We've been divided. We've been arguing. We've been prideful. We've done all of the things that we shouldn't be doing in order to be one family. I always start my thinking and my talking just remembering what God seemed to intend in chapter 1 of Genesis, where, you know, at the end, that last verse, he says that everything that he had created was what? It wasn't just good. It was very good, right? Everything was made that he made was very good. And so all of that meant that everything was perfect. And then he made man. But man was good in chapter 2, wasn't he? He was good in chapter 2. In chapter 2, he came along and the Lord said, Lord God said, well, you know, he needs something because, look, I told man and female, in my mind, I said, look, you got to be fruitful and multiply. And everybody had a way to do that, and everything had a way to do that except Adam, right? So Adam needed a helper to help him be fruitful and multiply. That's what that was about. And so then he said, let us make Adam somebody. And then he put him to sleep, which is the best place for him. I often think about anesthesia when that happens. I read that passage. But anyway, Adam was put to sleep, and Eve was made, and Adam and Eve were able to be fruitful and multiply and fulfill God's plan. And then they messed up. So you all know what happened in chapter 3, the blame game and division. Division, hatred, murder followed, death followed, and we're still dealing with it right now. There is absolutely no place you can go in this earthly realm. Even as beautiful as this edifice is, even as lovely as your homes are, even as many places as you go to enjoy yourselves, there's absolutely no place on earth that you can go and be absolutely sure that you're going to have a good time and you're going to be safe. Don't get scared. It's all right. My point is that Paul then comes in and he tries to help us get it right so that we can at least be safe with one another. There is a family plan here in the Gospels. There's a family plan that is being written out for us on how to interact in all of the letters and the epistles to the churches that were founded. And it's all about getting back to the beginning and being like we were supposed to be in the first place, being fruitful and multiplying. What I love about Desert Springs is that you all have been intentional to be fruitful and to multiply and to tear down division and to bring about unity. I love the way it happens here. In chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul brings us some good news as he's trying to introduce himself to the church at Rome. He said, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that make you feel good? There's a lot of folks who start that out and think that that they're perfect right there. Let's stop right there because I got it, right? There's no condemnation. The law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. God has done what was impossible for the law. And everybody knows that all those hundreds of laws that the Jews had to follow, none of us could have followed. I have a hard time following traffic laws. Even etiquette at the table, you know, getting the right fork at the right time when you're at a formal dinner. Have you ever done that? Pick the wrong fork. You know, that was the dessert fork you picked up. It was supposed to be the salad fork. So there's no way to be perfect. So we can't do it based on rules. Every church, every gathering, every organization has rules. I remember when I first got saved in this particular group that I'm faith-based that I'm in now, in the denomination I serve in, Pentecostal Apostolic Faith. And I remember when I first got saved, man, you better not have your toes out or wear pants or wear red or wear jewelry. You all see I have some jewelry on today? Because there were rules. And eventually, somebody read the Bible. And they found out that those rules were not there. The one thing that liberates us is the Word of God, because it is breathed by the Spirit of God. And what survives for us to live by is what gives us life. The Word is spirit and it is life. And so Jesus comes along and he sacrifices based on, not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, and all the great things that you all do. And every church does good stuff. The benevolence, the giving, the caring, the serving, all of that, none of that's going to get us into heaven. Sorry. But it can't get you there. What will get us there is the love of God, the grace of God, and the Spirit of God dwelling in us to conform us to Jesus Christ's image, until we become mature enough to stop arguing, to stop fighting, to stop dividing ourselves, and to begin to recognize that the beauty of God's creation is that we are all one people. We are all one people. So I'm going to turn your attention to verse 4. It said, God did this so that the righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled in us. So we take on the Spirit of God through our obedience, baptism, okay? The infilling of the Spirit then frees us. And we don't have to fulfill the law anymore. We're not selfish anymore, are we? Who's going to win? Who's going to win the turkey? Who's going to win the tackle hunger? I want to see the winner when you all put the hat on. So please be sure and put that online. I want to see what the attitude's going to be. But our attitude of selfishness doesn't come from God. Our selflessness comes from God. The desire to serve others comes from God. The vision to be able to serve others, even the vision for tackle hunger, comes from God. It's not, look, we're creative. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God, we are creative like God. But let me tell you something. When we get creative, we tend to get selfish. If you don't believe me, just watch some of the court stuff going on. Watch some of the people who have to picket to get a living wage. God help us. What would happen? Do you ever ask yourself, what would happen if the church really began to recognize that the power that they're seeking, if we as people, not just evangelical churches and not just non-denoms and not just, what do they call them, the classic churches, the ones that are rooted for such a long time, not just the Presbyterians or the Roman Catholics, or, you know, what would happen if the real church began to be like the first church? Can you imagine what this world would be like if that happened, when all people of all nations were together and began to work together, serve together, share together, love together, and not worry about how you were circumcised or, you know, all that other stuff? What would happen if we really looked like the rainbow that God created, if we stopped trying to be the power moves? What would happen? I wake up every morning thinking about that, because I know that God did not create the first family as a unit so that we could break it up in the third chapter. And we remain broken, unfortunately. So I like being around my people, but guess what? I found out that you all are my people. Okay? Now, we code switch. Those of us who are in this room who came up similar to me know what code switching is. Because there are some things that you don't do to offend folks or hurt folks. And then you code switch to be comfortable in your space. You know that happy place, the party place, you know I told you about? That's the party place. So we code switch. Everybody does it. It's just that now God is calling us to stop coding. Because coding leads to what? You need to be resuscitated. That's a tough one. I know I told you I'm coming out of Romans 8. It's still there. But the reason I'm dealing with this is because in verse 9, it describes us, the scripture describes us as self-centered. And if you're self-centered, do you look in the mirror when you're getting yourself together for the day, getting ready to go out into the public? Do you kind of fix yourself up a little bit? I have to. Because life has beaten me up. I've got to fix myself before I go out and engage with people, either mentally or physically, I've got to fix myself up. And so sometimes that means spending time before the Lord in repentance for something I've thought, said, or done, in prayer. And sometimes it means getting my head straight for a meeting I have to go to that I don't want to do. And then sometimes it just means, Lord, who is waiting for me to love them today? Who is waiting for me to serve them today? Who is on the edge of broken life? Who is on the edge of leaving this earth based on how they encounter me today? Have you ever thought that way? When you go out of your door, instead of in traffic or in line and somebody bump you, instead of getting upset, instead of flipping the bird to somebody, how about giving them a blessing? And I'm not talking about money. Y'all stop doing that. I'm talking about caring enough to say, hey, are you okay? How can I walk with you today? What do you need? What's going on? Have you talked to anybody today? What is driving you? What is lacking that you need? It's not always a material thing. Sometimes people just need to be seen and heard. People of God who are salt and light, when we go into the highways and byways, God is calling us to just let our light, we don't even have to make it shine, just let your light shine. And just be the salt that changes the condition of the situation where you are. Does that make sense? So Paul is constantly trying to get us to see that when the Spirit lives in us, we are changed because of the righteousness of God. He goes on in the 14th verse, he said, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters. I remember when I first got saved and I was sitting in the service and I first of all wasn't used to being called nice words. And so when I first got saved, somebody started calling me beloved. Not the movie. You know, y'all didn't know that one? Look at the movie, Beloved. Anyway, they started calling me beloved. And I'd never had that word attached to my face or my body or my character or my presence before. I did not know how to respond to being loved. Do you know that there are people who don't know how to respond to being loved? And you may look at them and you may want to love them and they may not know how to respond to what you're trying to give them, which is simply love. And so when I first got saved and they called me that, and there was another thing I heard them say about me that I could not deal with. And I thank God for the praise and worship this morning. Because it says, one of the lyrics said, now I know, I didn't know before, but now I know. They call me a saint. And I didn't know that was in the book. That's why I asked you to have your book out. I didn't know that the people of God were called saints. I thought that was just the Roman Catholic tradition. You know, that they had statues and those were saints and you prayed to them. I wasn't Catholic or Roman Catholic, but that was the only experience I'd ever heard where people were called saints, because in my culture, folks weren't calling me saint. So here we are in a church. Everything about being in the body of Christ is totally the opposite of everything else outside. Do you believe that? And isn't it interesting that we can be this way, we can be loving to each other, but then when we go outside, there happens to be a shift. we lose our sainthood? Are we no longer beloved? Are others not the image bearers of God? What happens to us when we leave this sacred space, this place where we can be changed, this place where others believe like us and we feel safe? There's a party going on. That's what my church likes to say. It's party going on. Holy Ghost party, yeah. Okay. And so we're free to dance. The song said, I'll sing like nobody's listening, and I'll dance like nobody's watching. Okay? Y'all don't dance in this church, but we do. And so can you imagine? Though I remember that when I first got saved, I did dance, and I sang. I danced like nobody was watching. I suddenly went back to flying kites. And my son and I went in St. Louis on the Library Hill, and we flew kites, and we ran, and we played. And I became a child again for the first time. And so what happens when we get saved is that our whole should change. But then after we've been in it for a little while, this is what Paul is trying to address. After you're in it for a little while, you get a little jaded, and you think you've matured, and you get old, and then you start writing laws and rules again. Am I wrong? So what happened? Why are we not laughing and playing and singing and dancing like nobody's watching? My favorite folks to hang out with are the children. And so in my church, I'm the old person that goes to the children's church. And when we have a conference, if they got a children's breakout, I go to the children's breakout. And I learn in their classes. I do. I take their stuff and I take it to our grown folks. Because we need to remember that in God's eyes, we are children. Our spirit should agree with God's spirit, that we are his children. And so what I want to leave with you today is, as you look at, take a fresh look at Romans 8. I have a young friend, and I'll get to that in a second, but I have a young friend, she used to get so upset with me because she would come in whining, you know, somebody had offended her in the church. And for those of you who are easily offended, this might help you. Okay, I know what you're going to tell me, Evangelist Martha. That's what they call me at church. Don't you do it. They call me, I don't like being called by titles. But Evangelist Morris, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me that it's going to be all right, because, and then I would quote Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. That's the King James Version. And she gets so upset with me because she wanted to be angry and to fight back about that situation, right? But she couldn't do it because here I was telling her, don't worry about what they did to you, because it's going to be good for you. Who wants to hear that castor oil is good for you? Who wants to hear that somebody cussing you out is good for you? Nobody likes that, but the truth of the matter is, if you remember whose you are, if you remember that you have the Spirit of God and you're his kid, somebody cussing you out gets them in trouble, not you. You understand? We sang that song, hallelujah, my victory, right? So that was really kind of where I was trying to get her to see that there is absolutely nothing. All right, so I know we're in a political storm. Nobody talks about it much from the pulpit these days, but we are in a political storm. And without landing on either side or in the middle, we have to know that whatever happens, it's going to work for our good. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not that it's going to be good. Let's get it straight. But it's going to work for our good. So stop fighting about it. It's nothing to fight about. That's not our kingdom. Our kingdom is joy and peace and love in the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? Okay, so no more political fights, right? Thanksgiving's coming. The whole creation is waiting. This is verse 19 of Romans 8. Waiting in breathless anticipation for the revelation of God's sons and daughters. Do you realize that we are the gift to the earth? That the people who are empowered by the Spirit of God to do His will, to be obedient and to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that we are the answer that everybody's question is asking? We are the answer. God is calling us to be that answer. And I would beg you today, if I could, if I can get into any hidden place like God gets into mine, any hidden place in your heart that you're harboring unforgiveness or anger or hatred or bias or anything that you know about. Because there's stuff we don't know about. God will bring it to your remembrance if you ask Him. But there's stuff that we need to know about and need to repent from. And if I could get you to ask God, clean me out, reveal, pull the cover off so I can be like you want me to be, so that we can together be what God has called for this broken world. We're in a broken world. And until we recognize that we have the healing that the world needs as we serve one another, as we love one another, and then as that love overflows to whoever and wherever we go, then we know that we have fulfilled God's plan for us. And creation is groaning, waiting to see us, waiting for us to be revealed. Isn't that something? You ever wanted to be the show thing? But guess what? We are. Show up and show out. But show out for God. Show out according to the Spirit of God. Oh my God. The world is falling apart. There is global warming. I don't care whether you believe it or not. 130-some, 140-some days of 110-degree heat? Don't tell me. I know I wasn't born here, but I've been here 40 years. And I can tell you that for 40 years, I never saw it like that. Here is the thing. The Lord is soon to return. I don't know when He's coming. He hasn't given me a number. He hasn't given anybody, I don't care what they say, He hasn't given anybody a number. He hasn't told them the day or the hour, but He's told us to be ready. How can we be ready if we're not doing what He told us to do? How can we be ready if we're not being salt and light? Do you understand? It doesn't even take creativity on our part. We don't even have to do it. We don't have to make it happen. God has already created it to happen. All we have to do is walk in it. I love that God doesn't let me make the plan, because I'm too stupid for that. I am. Listen, I'll tell everybody and anybody who wants to know, I'm dumb. I don't know anything that God doesn't teach me. I don't care how many professors I've sat under, how many theologians I've sat under. I don't care how smart they are. I still don't know anything that God hasn't taught me. Now, this suffering is going on, and I cry and I grieve for those who are wounded in these wars that they didn't start. And I grieve for those who are in power who don't recognize that they're destroying innocent lives. And I grieve for those who want to be in power so they can continue to destroy innocent lives and our creation, the creation that God made perfect in chapter 1. Even our fish are dangerous now. You don't know whether you're going to be eating plastic if you get a fish from the ocean. Understand that we're in a broken world, but God is calling us to be the change makers. So I leave you with the victory. Verse 37. Yeah, we're going to be suffering, put to death, all that stuff. We're treated like sheep for slaughter. But in verse 37, in all these things, how many of the things? Thank you. We are sweeping victory, overcoming victory, more than conquerors, through the one who does what? Who loves us. Through the one who loves us. And I am really convinced in verse 38 and 39, I truly am convinced that nothing can separate us. This is our victory march. Nothing can separate us. You ought to be pleased about this. Nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate. Death, no. Life, no. Angels, no. Rulers, no. Nothing present, no. Nothing in the future, no. Not powers, no. Not height, not depth, or any other thing that's been created can stop us. We are God's change agents. Here's the thing. Some of us have been walking in fear. But if we are really a product of the one who loved us, then that love has cast out, thrown out, stamped out that fear. So we can no longer say, I can't. We can no longer be fearful of asking. We can no longer be fearful of declaring. We can no longer be fearful of going out. And y'all come on down to South Phoenix sometimes. It's safe. Actually, I live in North Phoenix. There was a shooting around the corner. Okay? So there is no place you can go that you won't have to duck. But understand that all of it belongs to God. And so do we. And we are the ones who are more than conquerors. Amen? I think about that as there may be some who really don't like being called a saint or don't know that they are one or would like to be one. And I know that Dawn has already told you about connecting and coming to the Lord, but I would ask you, if you have hesitated because you think being saved and being in the Lord is for old folks like me, or if you think that it's only for certain areas that you can be a saint or a sanctified person or a Holy Ghost-filled person or a Spirit-filled warrior for the Lord, if you think that's, let me tell you that, like the song says, you're wrong. God is calling us And if he's tugging at your heart today, make the commitment that you will be the salt and light and empowered by the Spirit of God and declare victory. Amen? Thank you. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand here today grateful for the privilege of being your child. Grateful for this congregation that has been so kind as to hear these words, God. And I would ask, Lord, that you would fire us up so that we could be bold as we go out and gentle as doves, oh God. Be lambs, oh God, but also be filled with the Spirit of the power of God, that we can make a difference wherever you send us and wherever we go. And God, I thank you, and I offer my repentance for anything that I have done, said, or thought that didn't please you or hindered what you've sent me to do. Lord, thank you. We bless you. And I ask, God, that you bless this congregation abundantly above all that they can think or ask, but according to the power that you've placed in them. In Jesus' name, amen.